You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody. It is hump day. Happy Wednesday. I hope you are having a most excellent week. You know, given all the circumstances and goings on, you are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I am your host, Maggie Dawn. I got Aaron Zommers with me today, helping me out in the booth. Thank you, Aaron, and welcome to each and every one of you. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a great show for you today. Very excited about this one. I've been thinking about the content of this particular show for quite some time, at least specifically the first hour of this show for quite some time. And in the second hour, I'm so excited. We're going to be talking with State Senator Melissa Ratcliffe. She's from the 16th Senate District. That should be a bunch of fun. She told me ahead of time she wants to talk about the Super Bowl and a few of the dishes that she likes to whip up for her Super Bowl parties because, yes, elected officials are regular people, too. So we're going to have some fun with Senator Ratcliffe. And, of course, at the bottom last half hour of the show at 3:30, as you will find every Wednesday at 3:30, we've got our segment called Over the Hump and Trump. It's about, you know, how do we come together? How do we put politics aside for a little while? How do we connect with one another? Got something really timely and special for you today. I cannot wait to share it with each and every one of you. So please stick around. But I wanted to start today, and I may start doing this every day, with a few quick things. Because it seems that every day there are at least a few quick things that we need to talk about, given, again, the fire hose that is the Trump 2.0 administration. So I wanted to start with this. I've talked, and yesterday spent the first hour talking about the laundry list of things that have been going on, the parade of horribles, if you will, that have been going on in the Trump administration. And you know, how do we keep going in the face of all of that? And we're going to kind of continue that discussion a bit today. But one of the items I mentioned yesterday was Trump and Elon Musk basically trying to shutter USAID, which is one, a national intelligence agency. Two, USAID employees help distribute all kinds of humanitarian relief when there are terrible disease outbreaks, when people and children especially are starving to death. They are often working alongside members of our military in active combat zones. They have helped in the past, in the former Soviet Union republics, help them stand up new democratic forms of government. It's been a key cornerstone of U.S. foreign policy. And if foreign policy isn't your bag, think of it this way. It is one of the agencies that helps establish the United States as a global power. It helps us remain a leader, both in thought, but also in preserving the dignity of every human and fighting for equality and fair treatment. News today is that Donald Trump has ordered all 10,000 plus employees of USAID to go on leave starting Friday. This is not good for the United States. It's not good for the world. It's not good for our role as a leader. It is isolationist claptrap going back quite some time. And yet, Donald Trump said one of the stupidest things that isn't a very isolationist approach to foreign policy yesterday at the White House after meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu and holding a press conference. And Mr. Zommers, if you would play the stupid thing that he said.
I don't want to be a wise guy, but the Riviera of the Middle East, this could be something that could be so bad. This could be so magnificent.
I'm sorry. What did you just say, sir? He's talking about the United States taking control of Gaza, basically engaging in ethnic cleansing and pushing all of the Palestinians out of Gaza, taking both military and governmental control of Gaza. And then he starts talking about it like the hotel developer he is. We're going to build the... This is the stupidest thing anybody has heard. Now, I've promised you all not to focus on the stupid things that the man says, but rather on what he does. And interestingly, today, perhaps in a reflection that even those working for Donald Trump have figured out that he says really stupid things, the White House had to clarify earlier about 1 o'clock Central Time that the U.S. isn't actually sending troops or any additional money to Gaza. Why do I bring this up? Well, because there is no coherent concept in Trump's approach to these things, right? Like, you're shutting down USAID, you're in the next breath, you're saying, I'm going to take over Gaza and throw up a Trump hotel there, right? Like, these are not compatible foreign policy philosophies. But what all of this points to is the fact that we have to think of our values first. And we're going to spend a goodly amount of this first hour talking about the values, the things that actually unite us as Americans that I think the vast majority of us agree with. I also wanted to take this opportunity to point out that my colleague Todd Alba, who's got that great show before mine, has written an absolutely fantastic piece about his personal experience with USAID and his view of why it is such an essential U.S. agency. You're going to want to check that out. It's at the Recombobulation area. You can also find that on the Civic Media website. So that's the first quick thing, is Donald Trump making no sense. There's no foreign policy fundamental philosophy. He's just all over the place. So we got to rise above that. Think of our values. What is the role that we all wish to see the United States to take in the world, through the lens of the values that we want to see the United States express and uphold and uplift as a foreign policy and as a global superpower? So that's thing one. I'm going to come back to that. Thing two today is there was a big old protest at the Capitol around 11 a.m. this morning. It is part of a 50-state protest that is going on. It is called the 5051. So 50501 movement. You can find out more about it at 5051movement.carrd.co. We're going to put that website, don't worry, in the show notes for today. It is a 50-state, 50 protests on one day. Basically, a guerrilla protest campaign started on Reddit and a bunch of social media accounts, Blue Sky and Discord, to protest Donald Trump's approach to his second term. Had that in Madison today, so that's two quick things. The third quick thing today is we are back to the shady and the shameless, the shill, otherwise known as Brad Schimmel. Yes, the shady, shameless Schimmel apparently has now put out an ad attacking his opponent, Susan Crawford, but used AI allegedly to alter the image to make her look really grim and dour. Of course he did. Manipulated the image. Interesting to note, though, that Governor Evers just last year signed a piece of legislation, bipartisan legislation, that prohibits doing exactly that, prohibits the use of AI to alter images without disclosing it, which can result in a $1,000 fine. I wonder if this is going to be added to the ethics complaint, Mr. Zommers, that was filed yesterday against Judge Schimmel. I certainly will be looking to see whether they tack that one on. He's had a bit of a hard time following the rules.
Yeah, I would definitely say so. I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of things added on by the time this is all said and done.
Right. Just keep talking, Brad. You shameless, shameless, shady shill, Brad Schimmel. Quick thing number four, is that a federal judge has now, at least for the time being, issued an indefinite enjoinder or restraining order against Donald Trump's birthright citizenship, executive order. Again, yeah, presidents can't, you know, just draw a line through certain parts of the Constitution and poof, they're gone. It's not like, you know, the president using a Sharpie on a map of a hurricane to just expand the hurricane's path because, you know, he thinks so. It doesn't work like that. And thing five, finally, Fox News has taken the fig leaf of legitimacy away. Yes, folks, Lara Trump, the president's daughter-in-law, getting her own show on Faux News. It was only a matter of time before the whole thing gets relabeled MAGA News or Trump News or Trump Talking Points, because that is basically all it is. Of course, this coming on the tail of both CBS, Paramount, ABC basically capitulating to Donald Trump in these bogus lawsuits, writing him checks for tens of millions of dollars. A real shame, driving out excellent journalists like Jim Acosta, Jake Tapper leaving CNN. This is not good. But again, at least Fox embracing who they really are. No more fig leaf. They're just going to throw the Trump family members right on as anchors. Don't bother with the interviews. Just put them right on there as anchors. Okay. So those were my five quick things, a handful of quick things. I think I'm going to start every day with a few quick things because there's a lot going on today. But let me tease what we're going to spend the rest of the hour talking about, because you're not going to want to go anywhere. It is indeed difficult times. It is hard to stay engaged. It is difficult to maintain your resilience, to keep the resistance going. We're going to focus on how to do that, and I think some divine, yes, divine words of encouragement and wisdom heard within the past few weeks. I'm going to share those with you and some of my ways that I keep my resilience, my resistance, and all of my energy up in these very, very dark, confusing, and chaotic times. So important for us to come together. One of the questions I want to ask each and every one of you and ask you to join this great conversation is, what do you do to help keep your resilience up? And in addition, what was the moment or moments or experiences that made you care so much about what's going on in these United States, liberal or conservative, Democrat or Republican? If you're listening, I'm guessing that you care a little bit about what's going on in this country. What made you care so much? What keeps you engaged every day as we move forward together as a country? 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. I got Somers with me in the production booth. My senior producer, Jamie, helping us out manage all those texts as your feedback starts coming in. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversation. My name's Maggie Dawn. When we come back, we're going to talk about keeping your energy up in these dark days of Trump 2.0. Keep it locked. Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you are just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking today for this first hour in this fine program about how you keep your resilience, your energy up in this second Trump administration. There's so much stuff every single day, so much of it dark and bad and divisive. I think so many people I hear from friends and former colleagues that have worked in government and friends that have paid attention to politics for many years telling me I have to stop paying attention. I have to disengage. And I've been having conversations with them, often very difficult, about please, please don't do that. This is the time where we have to stay engaged, no matter what side of the spectrum you may be coming from, whether you're left or right, again, Democratic or Republican, let's keep paying attention. So how do we do this? How do we keep our engagement going? How do we keep our energy up? And I wanted to share with you all a little bit of how I do that every day, because I come here to be with each and every one of you, whether we agree on all things or not, or even disagree about most of them. And I've been asked by friends, hey, Max, how do you do this every day? You gotta get on there, gotta be all excited. How do you do it? Well, I've always been a person that has given 110% to the things that I get involved in. So that's partly just baked into the Maggie cake, if you will. But since Trump won back in November, every day I've had to check back in with why do I care? What are my whys? Why did I ever work in government? Why did I leave a very lucrative, successful career in the private sector, sort of the pinnacle of the law practice, of the practice of law? Why did I leave that to come to public service? What has been motivating me my whole life to give 110%, to care this much, to not phone it in, as it were? And I wanted to share that with you and ask you all, what are your whys? Why do you care? No matter what your political philosophy is, if you're listening and you're engaged, why do you care so much? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. But I have three basic whys. And the first one occurred to me, or I had this experience when I was a real little kid. I was in grade school. And there was only one woman of color, a girl of color, a black girl in my class when I was in grade school. And I went to a small little Catholic grade school in Milwaukee on the northwest side. And one day I heard some of my classmates making fun of her hair, and they began to bully her relentlessly. And they used a racial epithet. And without really knowing what I was doing, or frankly, why I was doing it, I was up out of my chair, pushing them back off of her and telling them to leave her alone. And for whatever reason, for the entirety of my life, I have never, ever liked a bully. And in fact, everything about me has always wanted to push back against bullies, to stick up for people getting picked on an individual basis, or the groups of people that society has picked on or told us are less than us. So that's my one why. I will always fight a bully. And it's the main reason I became a lawyer, to speak up for other people. And that brings me to my second why, which is, no matter what, for whatever reason, ever since I was a little kid, I was always the one that wanted to speak up and to tell the truth. And frankly, to tell the truth to power, to ask why, to demand better, to express what I think and what I still see sometimes as injustice or unfairness. So that's my second why. I've always wanted to do that. It's, again, part of why I became a lawyer. And my third why I got from my parents, and it was the desire to make things better, to serve, to make it better, to make it work better, whether that's government, or care that my mom provided to patients as a nurse. But let's make it better. Let's make it more efficient. Let's make it more effective. And that's really why I wanted to become an economist. It is these whys, to stand up to bullies, to tell the truth to power, and to freaking make it better. These are the things that help me every day get out of bed and continue to do this. I also think there are things that most of us as Americans also believe in. So they are the things that I hope can connect me to people even when we disagree. If you want to share your whys, you can join us on the text or phone lines, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Anne from Chippewa Falls sharing her why, that it is her kids. I'm sure many out there, Anne, are nodding along with you. While I don't have kids, I am Aunt Maggie to many, many of my best friends' children, and I know how passionately their kids motivate them every day. Matt from Middleton says that he cares too much to ever detach. I applaud you, Matt. I hope you share that sentiment with everybody who will listen to you. And Matt raises a question. People do seem to be detaching and disengaging and trying to separate from reality and a general unwillingness to see things as they truly are. Well, Matt, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because that's what the second half of this hour is going to be all about. How do we see things as they truly are? How do we find wisdom, and how do we find the strength, the energy, the resilience, the resistance to then give voice to the things as they really are? My name's Maggie Dawn. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. If you want to join our conversation, 855-75-CIVIC. It's 855-752-4842. John from Oshkosh texting in that he, like Anne, his kids are his why, his two daughters. Now more than ever, John says, I need to be their protection, to stick up for them. I need to fight for their independence and their future. John agrees. I, too, will fight bullies. I'm here with you, John. I hope you all are here with John and I and Ann and Matt and join our great conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Tom from Jackson saying that he stands up for people's safety. Yeah, I think that's part of why I like to stick up to the bullies, because bullies, whatever their form, no matter how many billions they may have, generally make people less safe. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids calling out Monty Python's Eric Idle song at the end of the movie, The Life of Brian. Always look on the bright side of life. I love that film. I'm a huge Monty Python fan. We come back, we get inspired together. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Talking in my sleep at night, making myself crazy.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome. If you are just joining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I come to you every day across our talk radio network from 2 to 4 p.m. You can also find all my old episodes on Spotify and Apple Pods and at Civic Media's website. Today, we're talking about your whys. Why do you care? Whatever your political bend, maybe. Why do you care? And assuming that you do care, how do you keep your energy up? And for me specifically, how do I keep my energy up? How do we keep our energy up to continue to be resilient and to resist? And I wanted to share with you today the sermon that was given by the Right Reverend Mary Ann Buddy, an evangelical reverend who heads the D.C. Church of the she leads the D.C. Church, the National Cathedral. And so at the National Cathedral, the day after Donald Trump's inauguration, they had a church service. Donald Trump and his whole family and J.D. Vance, they were all there. The Episcopal Church, thank you, Mr. Zommers, helping me out there, my producer today. And when I watched her sermon from that day, it brought me to tears again and again. And in the same time, it gave me so much inspiration, so much hope. Because what this very small woman in a shaky voice did in America's National Cathedral was she spoke truth to power. Power that was sitting mere feet from her. And she had no real authority other than the fact that she happened to be the head of the Episcopal's National Cathedral, in which this ceremony is had every year. But her authority in that moment, her power, despite her small frame and her shaky voice, her power came from saying the things that she knew to be true, or at least giving it her best gosh darn effort. And in interviews afterwards, Bishop and Reverend Buddy referenced the American theologian Howard Thurman as her inspiration. He wrote of the sound of the genuine, that when you speak and you give voice to what is true and real, it resonates with authority that you, the individual, may not have. It resonates with power. It is impactful beyond what you, the individual, may be able to impact. And so her endeavor that afternoon was to touch upon fundamental principles, the basic values that she hoped we all agree upon. And in those words, I found inspiration. I heard my why reaffirmed, expressed differently in this woman's shaky voice. And it also wasn't lost on me that she spoke from the Canterbury pulpit itself, said to have been brought to England by William the Conqueror and used in the Canterbury Cathedral itself. It is where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. gave his final Sunday sermon, mere days before he was assassinated. And its central carving on the Canterbury pulpit is the signing of the Magna Carta, an 809-year-old charter that established that the King of England was not above the law. So I wanted to share with each and every one of you today some of the words that Bishop Right Reverend Mary Ann Buddy spoke at the National Cathedral on January 21st this year. So, Aaron, let's get started, shall we? We're going to go through cut five to begin and then cut six right away. Here, the bishop is addressing what unity is and what it means in America. Let's take a listen.
As a country, we have gathered this morning to pray for unity as a people and a nation, not for agreement, political or otherwise, but for the kind of unity that fosters community across diversity and division, a unity that serves the common good. It is not conformity. It is not victory. It is not polite weariness or passivity born of exhaustion. Unity is not partisan. Rather, unity is a way of being with one another, that it encompasses and respects our differences, that teaches us to hold multiple perspectives and life experiences as valid and worthy of respect, that enables us in our communities and in the halls of power to genuinely care for one another, even when we disagree.
That is the voice of Right Reverend Bishop Mary Ann Buddy, speaking to and addressing President Donald Trump the day after his inauguration from the Canterbury Pulpit in the National Cathedral. She continued, she pointed out the importance of not just saying the right things, but doing the right things.
And Jesus went out of his way to welcome those whom his society deemed as outcasts. Now, I grant you that unity in this broad, expansive sense it's aspirational, and it's a lot to pray for. It's a big ask of our God, worthy of the best of who we are and who we can be. But there isn't much to be gained by our prayers if we act in ways that further deepen the divisions among us. Our scriptures are quite clear about this, that God is never impressed with prayers when actions are not informed by them. Nor does God spare us from the consequences of our deeds, which always, in the end, matter more than the words we pray.
Powerful words, again, from a small woman with a shaky voice. And she addressed contempt and how it destabilizes our country, our unity, and frankly runs against the most basic tenets of Christianity. Cut nine, Aaron.
Because the culture of contempt that has become normalized in this country threatens to destroy us. We are all bombarded daily with messages from what sociologists now call the outrage industrial complex. Some of that driven by external forces whose interests are furthered by a polarized America. Contempt fuels political campaigns and social media, and many profit from that. But it's a worrisome, it's a dangerous way to lead a country.
Again, folks, that's the voice of Reverend Marianne Budde addressing Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, the Trump family, and the nation on January 21st. At this point, she then pivots to the real core of her sermon that day about the basics of human dignity, about what it means to fight for human dignity, and the what she calls the three foundations of America's unity. Aaron?
Unity in this country is possible. Not perfectly, for we are imperfect people and an imperfect union, but sufficient enough to keep us all believing in and working to realize the ideals of the United States of America, ideals expressed in the Declaration of Independence with its assertion of innate human equality and dignity.
And so she goes on to lay out the three foundations of unity, of American unity, which also, incidentally, are core pillars of Christianity, which our current president claims to be. Let's listen to Foundation 1 of unity.
Let me suggest that there are at least three. The first foundation for unity is honoring the inherent dignity of every human being.
Yes. The dignity of every human being. So what does dignity require?
Honoring each other's dignity means refusing to mock or discount or demonize those with whom we differ, choosing instead to respectfully debate our differences, and whenever possible, to seek common ground. And if common ground is not possible, dignity demands that we remain true to our convictions without contempt for those who hold convictions of their own.
Bishop Budde then went on to explain the second foundation of unity in Christianity.
Second foundation for unity is honesty in both private conversation and public discourse. If we're not willing to be honest, there's no use in praying for unity because our actions work against the prayers themselves. We might, for a time, experience a false sense of unity among some, but not the sturdier, broader unity that we need to address the challenges that we face.
So, as Bishop Budde is explaining, the foundation of unity in this country, in fact, deeply held Christian values, require first an acknowledgement of the innate dignity of every human being, and secondly, a commitment to honesty. But honesty is not always easy.
We don't always know where the truth lies, and there's a lot working against the truth now. But when we do know, when we know what is true, it's incumbent upon us to speak the truth, even when, especially when, it costs us.
Not the profiteering of contempt and hate, but to speak the truth, especially and even when it costs us. Third and finally, Bishop Budde tells us the foundation of our American unity, of this American project in democracy, and of course, a core tenet of Christianity, is humility.
And the third and last foundation I'll mention today is foundation for unity is humility, which we all need because we are all fallible human beings. We make mistakes. We say and do things that we later regret. We have our blind spots and our biases, and perhaps we are most dangerous to ourselves and others when we are persuaded without a doubt that we are absolutely right and someone else is absolutely wrong. Because then we are just a few steps from labeling ourselves as the good people versus the bad people. And the truth is that we're all people. We're both capable of good and bad.
So, the foundation, the third foundation of this American unity project, a value of Christianity, is humility. The acknowledgement that we may not be right, that we may in fact be biased and have blind spots. And Bishop Buddy tells us more what humility requires.
And the more we realize this, the more room we have within ourselves for humility and openness to one another across our differences, because in fact we are more like one another than we realize, and we need each other.
We need each other. Folks, if you're just joining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. We're listening to the words of Reverend Marianne Buddy just a couple of weeks ago on January 21st, addressing Donald Trump, our president, J.D. Vance, our vice president, and the entire Vance and Trump families, and indeed the nation, calling for a return to American unity rooted in the acknowledgement that all human beings deserve dignity, that we must commit, secondly, to tell the truth, to be honest, even when costly. And thirdly, that we must approach this project with humility, because we are all, indeed, fallible. When we come back after these brief messages, she tells us what's at stake and makes a final plea to our president. We're taking some inspiration from the words of Bishop Marianne Buddy today. Please keep it locked. Come back with me. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Back. Welcome, if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. This first hour of the show, I'm talking with each and every one of you about how we maintain our energy, our engagement, the very will to resist some of Donald Trump's worst impulses. And even if you are a Trump supporter, why do we care about these things? Why don't we just tune it all out, right? There's so many things that can grab our attention now. But if you're listening, my guess is you probably do care very much about the future of our country, the future of your kids. And you may have some very particular views about what and how we should do these things and accomplish these next goals or face these challenges. And I've brought to you today to share with you my three whys, why I care, why I'm engaged, which are: I can't stand bullies. Secondly, I've always wanted to tell the truth, to speak it as best I can, to tell the truth to power. And thirdly, and finally, I've always wanted to make things work better, be more effective, more efficient. And as I've gotten older, I've tried to do these things with increasing levels of humility. We all think we know it when we're young. Turns out we don't. And I've, in the second half of this first hour, turned to the words of Bishop Marianne Buddy, who spoke to the nation, but very specifically spoke to our president, Donald Trump, from the Canterbury pulpit the day after Donald Trump was elected president. Sworn in on January 21st. And she said that our American project requires unity, not agreement on everything. That's not possible, but unity. And she further said that this idea of American unity requires three things: the acknowledgement of the dignity of every human being. Secondly, a commitment, even when personally costly, to tell the truth. And thirdly, the humility to understand that we're all fallible, that we may get it wrong. She spoke mere feet from Donald Trump and addressed him very specifically. And towards the end of her sermon on January 21st, she told us what is at stake if we fail in this American project, in this need for unity in our country.
It's a lot harder to realize when we're dealing with real differences in our private lives and in the public arena. But without unity, we're building our nation's house on sand.
So the bishop is telling us, if we cannot find our way to observe and pay fidelity to these three foundations of the American project, and frankly, the foundations of Christianity, these foundations that include acknowledgement of the dignity of every human, the fearlessness to tell the truth, even when costly, and thirdly, again, the humility to be open to other people's ideas and that we may be wrong, our nation will indeed fall. But what she said last, she addressed directly at President Trump. She made one final plea.
Let me make one final plea, Mr. President. Millions have put their trust in you. And as you told the nation yesterday, you have felt the providential hand of a loving God. In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families, some who fear for their lives. And the people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meat packing plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation. But the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals. They pay taxes and are good neighbors. They are faithful members of our churches and mosques, synagogues, wadara, and temples. I ask you to have mercy, Mr. President, on those in our communities whose children fear that their parents will be taken away, and that you help those who are fleeing war zones and persecution in their own lands to find compassion and welcome here. Our God teaches us that we are to be merciful to the stranger, for we were all once strangers in this land.
The words of Bishop Marianne Buddy addressing Donald Trump specifically, a plea for mercy. And in her closing words, she reminds us what our American project requires.
May God grant us the strength and courage to honor the dignity of every human being, to speak the truth to one another in love, and walk humbly with each other and our God for the good of all people in this nation and the world. Amen.
That is strength. That is power, because it is true, not because of who she is or the money in her bank account, but because she spoke the truth. So in these times that are so challenging for all of us, I ask you to find your whys, to reengage with the values that you hold dear, and find a way to mercy. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. When we come back, an interview with State Senator Melissa Ratcliffe. Keep it locked.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.